Hello and welcome to this week's Comic Roast. I am your host, Scott. You can find me on Twitter at XOrsonX. I am here with Brian, who you can find on Twitter at Pure Rock Fury. We are here with Chris, who you can find on Twitter at SkateXEdge. And we're here with Damien, who you can find on Twitter at Damien Johnston. Our number one for the week is Archangel, number one, obviously, by William Gibson, Butch Weiss, and Tula Lote on IDW. And our over-under for the week is Regional Cuisines. So let's all get ready for some fat guy food talk here at the end. Don't forget to head to reviewandroast.com to check out our reviews and stuff. We have partnered up with Fandango to sell movie tickets on there. You have to head to any hub page for the time being. We will get it on the homepage soon enough. But you can buy movie tickets from us now. That's pretty awesome.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah. I'm going to buy them tonight before Brian leaves for X-Men tomorrow. Nailed it.
Circles the globe in search of a listener. Can you hear me now?
So, this past week,
we're moving on up
to the sky. What? Brian's screwed up my pile of comics here, all two of them. I read a couple of things this week. Nothing really like amazing. Although I will say, and I know this is going to go against everything we've been saying for months, but Bitch Planet was actually kind of good. Last one I read.
I still like Bitch Planet.
Yeah, it kind of took a dip there for a minute, but. Yeah, it's starting to get good again, so I'm going to obviously keep riding that one out.
Did you get Sabrina?
I did, but I did not read it. But what I did read is I picked up a one-shot about 2 weeks ago from Image, Top Cow, called The 13th Artifact by Amit Chauhan, Ellie Powell, and Andrew Elder. This thing was awesome. Break it down really quick. It's kind of... These two astronauts travel to a distant planet to find out that it's kind of being taken over, and by, I don't want to say aliens, but some scientists there created a portal to another dimension. They sent over their army to eradicate the army of this other dimension or whatever, so that they could mine resources from the other planet. So once they killed off the leader of that army over there, the mad scientist went over there, became their new leader to come back and enslave the people of this planet. And these two astronauts were we can't let him find Earth and blah, blah, blah. It seriously was, for a one-shot, definitely worth the, $3.99 here? It's really awesome.
I will look into that. It sounds cool.
Yeah, and the artwork, I know Brian kind of perused it a little bit, but it's super awesome. It's kind of got that scratchy style,
Is it super mm-hmm. awesome?
It is. It's super awesome fun times.
It just reminds me, I was reading an article today at lunch about the Shazam movie.
Reading. Like a smart guy over here.
That's not reading on my phone. But the producer of the Shazam movie... says he promises that the movie will not get fucked up because it's going to be dope.
Nice.
Which I was like,
already,
I'm
already
like,
fucked it up.
Well, that movie sounds like it's going to suck.
I don't know. It sounds like it's going to be dope.
Sure. I read Injection, Volume 1. The Warren Ellis.
Injection?
Yeah, Warren Ellis. And,
did you like it?
It was okay. I think I'm done with Warren Ellis for the most part.
You've been saying that for a past year.
I know, but I keep going back to the well because I love Dr. Sleepless so much.
His second arc of Injection is better.
Yeah, but the first one, it's interesting. It's kind of like if John Le Carre wrote Fringe.
Fringe, like the TV show?
Yeah.
But that show rules. Just
okay.
saying.
Well, I don't know.
He might be tripping acid with Grant Morrison, so that's probably why.
It's very possible. It's okay. I mean, the artwork is really good. I love the way that the characters really are offset from the backgrounds. The backgrounds are usually pretty monochromatic, and then the characters are full color, so that's interesting. And the kind of, the dialogue that leads in each new scene is kind of interesting with the yellow.
The plots are always vague, or at least with, I think with him as of recent, his plot is very vague.
I just think he's kind of retreading the same territory over and over again.
Okay.
Like, acid trippy sci-fi meets spy thriller. I don't know. Like, I didn't really care for Global Frequency.
Yeah, but the point
either.
Never, like, in that first arc of Injection, it just seems like the point never comes across as, like, what, I guess, like, what their end goal is or what they're trying to do or, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I just, I won't go any further with it. I'm pretty, I'm gonna just put it down and walk away.
Because he's like, every time I talk about it, I get mad.
No, I don't. It wasn't like I got angry. I just kind of, when I was done, I was like, eh, it's all right, whatever. I don't care anymore. I'll always have No Hero, Black Summer, Dr. Sleepless, and Crooked Little Vein to remember the days when I used to worship Warren Ellis. So, the only other thing is I finally got Uncharted 4. After selling, like, a giant portion of my record collection. So that was pretty awesome. Because that game is the most cinematic thing I've ever played.
Did you play the first three?
Never have played an Uncharted game in my life. But I am going to go back and play the other three when I finish this one.
Loser.
Okay.
I would play the other three if I were you. That's just me.
Is it all one big story?
Yeah. Because I played the first, I played the third one, and then I went and played one, and then two. And I wish I had played one and two, and then the third one, but I couldn't wait.
Point taken.
I'm just saying. Well, it won't really muck it up for you, to be quite honest. So.
I'm really impressed at how well put together the story is already. I mean,
yeah, that game is awesome.
I mean, I know there's a problem with video game films, and I know they're trying to figure out a way to make them work. I'm stunned that they haven't been able to do it, but I feel like this game is tailor-made for the big screen, because this game is so story-driven.
Are you past the part already where Sam gets out of jail?
Oh, yeah.
Dude, that part where, like, I forgot the guy's name, the drug lord... You could see his facial expression when he's like, well, I think it's going to take me a while to find it. And he's just like kind of like the graphics on there are so awesome. Like, you could see on his facial expression that he's just about ready to snap.
Yeah, the guy's like, you have 3 months. He's like, but I need like six. He's like, you
he's
have
like,
three
He's like, Sam,
months.
Sam, Sam. Boom!
Yeah, I'm really like enjoying this game quite a bit.
The graphics on it are awesome, especially the fact that they were able to nail that kind of like expression on there.
I mean, I did have to part with my entire mouthpiece discography, but I will try to survive.
Yeah, you'll make it.
You know, actually, I forgot I owned anything by mouthpiece until Sunday. When I was going through my record box for the first time in like 3 years, I'm like, I have a mouthpiece LP? I'm like, not anymore.
Man. Please tell me you sold Undertow stuff too.
No, why?
No, I thought it would have been funny.
No, I got...
Just hurt my feelings.
I'm just joking.
Most of what I...
I am too.
Most of what I got rid of was stuff I had like four copies of. Like, at one point, I had four copies of the Unbroken Groundwork split, and as much as I liked that record, I don't really think I need four of them anymore.
No.
So, stuff like that, and then, like, stuff I have on CD, I didn't really need the Turning Point LP anymore, because I have the discography.
Oh, okay.
I don't know, I had some records that I bought that I never really listened to, and then I went... sampled them again on Sunday. I'm like, nope, this is still terrible. So they were happy to give me quite a bit of money for it because it was all like half of it was on colored vinyl.
You should have told me. I would have bought stuff off you.
Nothing. Trust me when I tell you there was really nothing in there that anybody would have wanted that bad.
Oh, okay then.
Unless you wanted a 1995 repress of Uniform Choice.
No, I'm good.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's the stuff that I got rid of, and people were like, oh my god, this stuff's really great. And I'm like, if you say so.
Did you read Sabrina?
I did not.
Okay. Did you even get it?
Yeah, I got the EC variant cover, as a matter of fact.
Oh, you mean the Creepshow one?
Yes.
That's the one I got.
Did I lose everyone?
I mean, no.
Oh.
I think Chris just disappeared.
Okay.
No, I'm back. I just had to go reprimand somebody. Go ahead, Brian. Sorry.
No, I covered everything.
Okay. Well, I read a couple things. I read The Legacy of Luther Strode. Is that finished? That was okay. The ending was kind of I thought all the rest of it was fine up until the very last issue.
That's about her.
Southern, well, can't say it because someone's here, so everyone knows what I'm talking about.
Southern Bastards.
Thank you.
Oh, that one come out?
Yeah, last week.
Oh, cool. I didn't see
that one's awesome. That one's always awesome. That one just continue. There's not a bad issue of that comic.
Yeah,
whatsoever.
It just takes
forever. Yeah, that's the only bad part. Oh, yeah. And so, at the end of this one, he goes, yeah, we're going to take a couple months off for a break. I'm like, dude, I feel like writing him on Twitter, you take breaks between issues. What are you talking about? You need to take a break. You take breaks between them all the time.
You remember that episode of The Simpsons where they said that Homer writes angry letters to movies?
Yep.
Yeah.
That's what he does. He's like, I'm going to get on Twitter and tell this guy, get to work.
No, that's not. No, I'm not. But no, it's. No, but like Damien said, like, the issues when they come out, they're few and far between. I think it was funny, like, in the back of this one, he's like, we're going to take a break. I'm like, dude, like, you guys take breaks in between issues. What are you talking about? You need to take a break. Yeah, it's like the person that goes on vacation and says, I need a vacation from my vacation.
Yeah, I'm going to move from the couch to the bedroom.
That's pretty much what I do. You just described my entire week.
But, I mean, all right, but to be serious, yeah, Southern Bastards never disappoints. So... And this one is really good. And this one, I think this was the end of the second arc, and then the third arc is going to start. And just based on the ending of this second arc, the third arc is going to be like hell bent for leather.
Interesting.
Well, no, because Earl Tubbs' daughter has come back from Afghanistan.
Oh, cool! So that line's picking up again.
Yeah.
Thanks.
So, yeah, and in this last issue, the N-word was thrown around again.
Always.
Southern Bastards.
Yeah, well, I guess it wouldn't be Southern Bastards without that.
Yeah.
But, the thing about this issue is, like, it's not very hard, I guess, to portray ignorance, but when it comes to like that kind of ignorance, you know, racial discrimination, it's like, yep, I can see that happening in the South. I could see some little kids saying that.
Speaking of which, has anyone seen that new show on CNN, The United Shades of America with W. Kamau Bell?
Mm-mm.
The first episode, he spends the entire hour hanging out with various Ku Klux Klan factions.
Oh, okay, wait, I know what you're talking about.
Super weird and uncomfortable. I mean, it was an awesome episode, but just so weird. I don't know. I just that's what I just thought of because he spends an entire episode in Arkansas, Alabama, and Kentucky, and I'm just like, this is still going on. Oh my god, these guys have smartphones, and they're not smart, so this is super weird.
The unfortunate thing is there's always gonna be that.
Oh, I know. I just
especially unfortunately with people like them because they're gonna unfortunately procreate.
It was just weird. There was like,
and then they're just going to pass down that ignorance, and you're just going to keep passing it down.
There's this guy from Arkansas. I forget his name. But he does a web series called, like, The Light, The Truth, The Way, or something like that. It's like the 700 Club, but for the Ku Klux Klan, and he does it on the web with his daughter. Except he wears, like, a suit, and his daughter wears a pantsuit, and it looks very newsy. And they recorded an episode with W. Kamau Bell in their presence. So he's like trying to help. He's like, all right, well, you want to look at the camera. He'll face this way. And he's giving them direction like he's the, you know, producer of the show. And they're like taking his advice. It was just super weird. Oh my god. It just all this talk about it just reminded me of how hilarious that episode was.
I will have to wait. So that's the Shades?
Yeah.
Okay. United States of America or whatever. Yeah, I'll check it out. I've been seeing the promos for it.
Yeah, I haven't watched the other ones yet, but the KKK one is particularly good. Because he references multiple times. He's like, I'm in a place where 50 years ago, I would never walk away from. Like, I would be dead if I was here. And now I'm coming here voluntarily. I'm actually eating lunch with these guys, and they're letting me leave. And like when you think about that, you're like, he's got a, wow, that's really kind of 50 years ago is not that long ago.
No.
Anyway.
I'm trying to think, what else did I read?
The Fix, you know, just catching up still, you know, just catching up on stuff. Haven't really read anything new. I should say. No. That's about it, really. Yeah. Dang.
Sweet.
Yeah, that's it.
What about you, Mr. Damien?
Yeah, in my hunt to go get the number one this week, I went up to the shop, take the bus up there, and couldn't get too much stuff, and I went to the new shop, and they do this weird thing where on Tuesdays, they take all the comics off the shelves and put them in piles, because then they're going to like put all the new stuff out. So I kind of had a hard time finding anything, but I ended up getting issues 2 and 3 of that Turncoat series.
Picked up heard of that.
Well, yeah, we did the number one.
Oh, that's right.
Also, another number one we did, I got the Samurai, that 2 of 2.
Oh, yeah.
Which, by the way, ends with to be continued. So it's not, like, it doesn't end anything. Like,
wasn't that first one, like, 2 months ago?
Yeah, and
the third one just came out.
Oh,
I just got it. Yeah,
but this one says number 1 of 2, number 2.
Oh, wait. It's the covers.
Oh, okay.
It's the two variant covers. There's two variant covers.
Okay, because I thought that first time when I was completely confused when we first did the first Samurai. I thought it said 1 of 2 again. I assumed that meant like 1 of 2, issue 1, like.
No, it's an 8-part series, but they are saying 1 of 2, like for the variant covers, which is kind of hokey.
That's
to
weird.
Put that on the cover.
That is kind of hokey. Okay, and confusing to me.
Yeah.
Because
so did you get the second issue then?
Yeah, I got the second one. I didn't realize the third one came out, but got that and the, of course, the number one, and then I also picked up an anthology, by Big Planet, or maybe no, I actually picked this up already. But I read it this week.
If you're liking the Samurai, Damien, the first arc of Samurai on Marvel Soleil, I guess it's called.
Mm-hmm.
That one's really good. That was a 4-issue series, and that actually does coincide with this arc because where this new one started, that 4-issue series, that's where it ended.
Oh, so it picks right up.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Maybe I'll check that out.
And I liked that first arc is actually really good. I read all 4 in a day.
Well, I'm a sucker for samurai stuff, so
Yeah, this one was that arc was really good.
Cool.
I'm liking it actually.
Nice. Yeah, I enjoyed this. This was great. So. And yeah, Turncoat's good. I kept, you know, finally kept going on that after we did the one. It's got a cool sort of Chinatown kind of mystery to it.
I don't even remember the first one.
It's like humans have kind of had overthrown some sort of like alien sort of plant insect race or whatever that had been ruling over them for a while called management.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Drawing a blank.
So anyway, it's got like a
sounds sensual
kind of vibe to it. There's lots of like drug references and stuff
dirty
in
sex.
This now. I mean, not maybe a little. I don't know. It's weird. It's good. I mean, there's only one more issue. We'll see how it ends.
You know what movie I always thought was weird? Remember that one movie with Eric Stoltz? I forgot what it was called.
Mask?
Not that one. <you did. laughs> The one where he's in Europe and they're gonna like rob a bank.
Oh, Killing Zoe.
Thank you.
It was way better when you said Mask.
Did you guys ever see Weekend at Bernie's?
And he explains colors to the girl by like giving her like warm and cold rocks and stuff.
How many times have you seen Mask?
How many times have you seen? I've seen Mask a couple times.
I saw it a bunch, just all in the 80s, so I don't
right,
remember
yeah,
at all.
Exactly.
Well, that's when I saw it.
Man, my memory must suck.
Mine's bad too. It just some things stick forever.
Hot and
Eric
cold
Stoltz explaining colors to the blind girl. I was just like, gotta remember this in case I ever get. Like, get into a blind girl.
It's funny that you mentioned that because I was watching Family Guy and they had that one episode where they, like, show that clip. And she's, like, feeling his head. She goes, What is that? Is that a pelvis? Oh, my God. He goes, I'm beautiful within. But she goes, well, there's you got to draw the line somewhere.
No. Poor Mask. His name wasn't Mask, I believe, though.
Oh, it was Rocky Dennis. What? Now that's the part I remember.
Ooh. See, I remember that.
I remember Sam Elliott's mustache.
Yep.
Or he was a real person. It's a true story.
Yeah, we all know Sam Elliott's real.
No, Rocky Dennis.
Oh, yeah. Anyway, yeah, besides those, I read those. I watched the season finales of Flash, Arrow, and the premiere of Preacher. That's the only comic book shows I watched, and that's about all I did this week.
So should we talk about Preacher, or you didn't see it?
I did not see it, but you guys can feel free. It's not like I didn't read the book.
Okay.
If you want to talk about it, go nuts, and then after that, Chris can go into the number one.
Okay. Just quick thoughts. I was just curious what everyone thought of it.
Still got to watch it, but I don't care. I mean, I was watching it, but then I had to like turn it off because...
Well, I won't
My
spoil
son
any.
Is right there.
I won't spoil any details, but
go ahead. I'm gonna watch it anyways, regardless. I thought it was cool how it was starting, but then like when I read your comment online, I was like, ooh.
Yeah, I'm not gonna lie. I didn't love it.
I watched it twice. First
was
time
it
I
like
watched
satanic
it,
satanic cheesy or
no? It's like it's kind of like out there, like
not satanic enough.
The comic's
no, not
satanic.
It's not serious, really. It's like, I don't know, it's more black comedy than it is. Like,
yeah. That's what they said in one review I read.
Yeah, it's got almost like a Shane Black Lethal Weapon kind of vibe to it.
So is the whole angel falling in love with a demon, is that even part of the...
Possibly. I thought the very, very beginning where it's like outer space. I don't know if you saw that part.
Yes.
Yeah, I saw
like
that.
It looks like a 1960s like educational thing. I thought that was
it
really cool.
I started getting that Quentin Tarantino vibe from it when I saw that.
Yeah, I guess, okay, so I'll just say, like, I watched it twice. The first time I was thinking about how much I love the comic series, and when it was completely different, I was like, this is kind of weird. Like, they've really changed it. And then I watched it one more time, kind of knowing what to expect, and kind of tried to pay a little more attention to all the little things. And I ended up liking it a lot more. And I think they made some smart choices for it being a television series. Because, you know, the original comic is essentially like a road trip comic. I mean, they're yeah. always on the move. And I think they've decided to turn this more into more of a character-driven like thing where the characters can be stationary for a period of time. It's very different. I'll just say that. It's totally different.
Well, I heard I heard that they wanted – they did it like that initially, like where they took it word for word from the comic book and they presented it, and they're like, you know, those people were like
Yeah, it's weird. I mean, the casting is totally different than the comic. It's like they're just different kinds of people, which in some ways I'm kind of glad. I think if I saw the people from the comic in real life, I'd get kind of irritated by them. I remember, like, all those Garth Ennis characters, like, they always kind of had this, like, super, like, self-assured kind of attitude where you can tell they're just about to, like, laugh at their own joke all the time. Like, I just felt like they were, like, so confident all the time about everything. And yeah. this feels a little more human, but it's so – it's, like, silly almost. And I don't know if that's the right word to use, but I can see why cheesy would be a descriptor. Like, I can see that – I can see that being someone saying that and me not arguing that at all, because it is kind of cheesy. And it's a total – it's just – it's totally different. I wouldn't consider it an adaptation. It's more of, like, inspired by –
Yeah. I mean, I feel like a couple people at work who have never read a single issue loved it. And they're like, you don't seem that into it. And I'm like, yeah, because the thing about it is, all right, I don't love Tulip. And it's not, my only complaint with her is I don't recall her being this Quentin Tarantino style, like, badass at all in the comic. And in this thing, she's, like, driving and, like, punching and kicking. And, you know, she's, like, this super tough, awesome, I don't know, like, renegade girl, and I'm like, this is
same thing with Cassidy, too.
Cassidy, I thought they got perfect.
You think they did?
I absolutely think that's the best part of the show already. Because I think Dominic Cooper's so, like, he's almost personality-less thus far. I mean, it's only one episode, but I feel like Jesse Custer is, he's a little drab, but he's not quite so boring, and I feel like Dominic Cooper so far has been kind of just like, I just feel like he's breathing, like, slow and staring off into space the whole time. But there were some hilarious moments, for sure, but I just felt like there were also a lot of just parts that dragged. I mean, there were definitely things I'm excited for, like the fact that they already introduced Odin Quincannon, like, and Jackie Earle Haley is playing Odin Quincannon, that got me super pumped. I hope it gets better. I'll stick with it at least for one season, but the pilot I thought was just didn't need to be 90 minutes.
Oh yeah, it was pretty long too. I didn't think about that.
Yeah, and if you would have told me going in, like, oh, limited commercial interruptions, I'd have been like, yes. And then after I saw it, I'm like, oh God, this is so long. Where's the commercial? Like, can't you guys get a Toyota commercial here somewhere, please?
Oh, don't worry, it's AMC. There'll be a fucking commercial every 4.5 minutes pretty soon.
Yeah. Especially now that they got a shoehorn in Chris Hardwick's, you know, after party.
Yeah.
I just read Preacher a week ago, and now I'm going to talk about it like the expert. Woo! Anyway.
Yeah, dong. Let's not talk about that dong.
How about we talk about the number one?
Go for it.
It was your pick. I mean, if you want me to take... You want me to take the reins? I will, but I mean, that's kind of...
No. No. All right. All right. We've got Archangel here on IDW by William Gibson and Butch Juice? Goose? I'm going to say it's Goose.
I believe it's Geiss, but whatever.
Geiss, whatever. Guess what we're dealing here, what we got here it's a sci-fi, call it a sci-fi thriller. I'll say this about the issue, when I got it, it felt kind of thick. I was like, oh, sweet.
Dude, I felt this reading
it, and then
way.
Like half of it is just the comic, and other half is drawings and him talking about it and stuff like that, which I didn't go into.
Yeah, I was later. When I came home from work and I picked it up, I'm like, oh, geez, this is gonna take some time. And I, like halfway, when I get to the halfway point, I'm like, oh,
so that's it.
So I guess it's just normal.
Yeah, I like Butch Geiss's artwork a lot. He did Winterworld with Chuck Dixon on IDW, and I've always liked his artwork. I think his artwork's actually pretty awesome. It reminds me of Sean Phillips' artwork a little bit. Maybe just a little bit cleaner than his, but I like them both. I like both artists, so. I don't want to give away the story, but it's... I'm trying to think of how to tell people.
Well, without giving too much away, three simple words. Time travel, government conspiracies.
Thank you. That's actually probably the best way to put it.
I mean, you don't want to go too much into some
I don't
of
even
want to
go into it at all. You know? I don't even want to tell anyone the story. I really don't. I actually liked it.
Yeah, I mean...
I actually think they got something... They didn't reinvent the wheel, but it's... They kind of sort of did in a way because, like, it's, you know, it's that whole, you know, the rich and affluent, you know, and, you know, what money and things at their disposal have, you know, the means to, in this sense, kind of rewrite their fate, or they're trying to, but only for the betterment of themselves and not of the world as a whole. Actually, they're going to turn the world to shit. so they come out on top is basically what I mean, you don't have to gather it. That's pretty much what they say.
Point of
word
order.
For word.
Point of what? Order. Point of order. I just wanted to say, if you're already on top, it's hard to come out on top more.
Well, I'm assuming he is. Who else has that kind of stuff at their disposal?
No, I'm just saying, like, when you're already at the very tip top of the food chain, it's hard to go, well, I'm going to get even more on top of what I'm already in. Never mind.
No, I know what you're saying. Well, that's greed for you, so...
My
I mean,
joke plane just went straight into the ocean, didn't stop
whatever.
And go. And
sorry, I ruined it.
No, I was talking about my attempt at humor. Just went into a shark's mouth and... explosions and shark repellent everywhere.
But I'm really interested to see what it is that this person is trying to prevent or what he's trying to rewrite.
I just realized I was on mute for the past couple minutes. I'm sorry.
Oh.
Man. Anyway, yes, I was concurring quite a bit with you guys.
Oh, okay.
I was like, did Damien disappear, or am I not funny at all?
I was like, no, you don't seem to be able to hear me at all. Yeah, I don't know. I'm not really familiar with William Gibson's writing, but I'm sure a lot of people are. Are you guys?
Nope.
No, I am now though, but I like it because he's kind of like a Nick Spencer for me.
Well, he's what, not in his 60s, 70s now? He's been writing for years. He's a novelist, sci-fi novelist. He's done like... Neal Stephenson did Snow Crash, I think. I don't know. He's kind of like that. He's a cyberpunk kind of author, and he's like was friends with like William S. Burroughs and stuff. He's been around for a while. Has he done comics before? Like, is this the first thing?
Yeah, I guess the Ted Adams guy from IDW said that they started out as a creator-owned company. They've kind of taken on a lot of different franchise properties and other big projects, and now they kind of want to start getting back into creator-owned stuff, and this was one of their big creator-owned comebacks, and they're like, oh, we brought this guy in who's never written a comic in his life, and this is his first time doing so, and he's a famous sci-fi author. So I think that's why his name is really large in the front. It almost looks like the title of the book is William Gibson Archangel.
Yeah.
Like, oh man, that William Gibson Archangel book rules.
I like it. I think I like the story.
Yeah, it's cool. It's complicated. It's got different timelines.
I'm trying to get the words across and like I can't think of it because I want to try and convey that I feel, after reading this, that, like I just said, I don't think they reinvented the wheel, but it's still different. in that respect, in that time travel respect, you know what I mean? Because it's like they do have like multiple lines going on, because like at one point in the story she tells that doctor, she's like, well, you know what, I'm just going to send one of my soldiers 6 months down the line and blah 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 and take care of this, so how about that?
Nana nana boo boo.
Wow.
Well, that's basically what she says.
No, I know.
If you want me to read it word for word, I can.
Please don't.
Okay, then.
No, I'm kidding. No, I kind of got a Philadelphia Experiment vibe from it. I don't know if anyone remembers that movie from the 80s.
I remember it, but I don't.
Of course Damien remembers it. Yeah. That's a movie.
It's in the ship, the boat or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Supposedly.
There's that one guy, like, fused into the deck.
Yeah. It was, like, supposedly, like, based off a possible true story or some weird thing like that.
Yeah. I mean, just enough for a 12-year-old Damien to, like, shit his pants when he watched it.
I don't know what it was. I loved that movie. I probably would hate it now, but I feel like I should find a way to watch it.
It's called Netflix.
Well, see, because the only way I was saying that is because, like, in that one part, or that one, I kind of get the whole plot in that one saying of hers where she goes, it's about those assholes surviving, and they'll screw up a whole other world to do it if we let them.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I kind of got it all really from that one sentence, or that one paragraph.
Yeah, I recommend people check this out because it is kind of complicated, and there's lots of really cool little like sci-fi sort of details that I'm assuming are very, you know, that kind of hard sci-fi that I'm sure William Gibson is probably known for. I don't know. I'm just gonna guess, but there's lots of cool little details about, like, what has to happen for the, you know, the whatever, the time travel to work or whatever. There's just little things like peppered in there that kind of have that more hard sci-fi vibe that I like.
Right.
I think people would find it rewarding.
Did anyone catch, like, the mechanical flies, like,
yeah,
towards the end?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was cool.
And, like, why the guys are all tatted up.
Yeah, they didn't explain that yet, did they? No.
They like, the dudes look like they're in DMS. Or they're prisoners.
They look like guys in Madball.
Yeah, they look like they're in Madball.
Went back in time because I heard someone was talking shit.
Yo.
What do you mean dropping many suckers is only 2 stars?
That's my next comic, is a bunch of fucking hardcore thugs go back in time to beat someone up before they're able to talk shit. I can talk about my run with the Courage Crew.
Nice.
Well, I found that one, like that one part of this comic where they're, you know, like the agent for, you know, for British intelligence, you know, talking to the American servicemen or whatever, and obviously there was some kind of relationship that went on prior or before that, but that's all in the past. But he's describing them to her, and he's saying, well, they all had tattoos from head to toe, and they're like, okay, well, like, why? Which obviously is, if you think about it, that's something that's popular. Well, it has, you know, has gotten popular from the 90s until now. You know, tattoos were, like, you know, before that, you know, they were synonymous with, like, prisoners or, you know, unsavories, but now they're all hip. So, take, you know, go back in the 40s or during World War II, I'm sure that thought of anyone with a tattoo was thought of, you know, as an unsavory character.
Yeah, I have a book here that's about outsider art.
Yeah.
And it has all these different kinds of outsider art. It's from it's from like 1960 or 1962 or something. It's really old. And one of them is tattoos. Like, just like wrapped in with like weird people making like, you know, macaroni paintings of Stalin and stuff. Like, just tattoos in general. Which... So, I mean, that was in the 60s. Those things were just considered like outsider and weird. Like, not your average person would ever go do that.
So what chapter was Homer Simpson's barbecue grill in?
Oh, well, it's a few decades before, but maybe the second.
There's a lot of Simpsons references from you tonight.
I know.
But on a whole, I think it's a good story. I agree with Damien. It is. I feel it's a pretty complex story where I feel like there's more than a few things going on that I'm would like to see how they do turn out. Especially, you know, Givens, Naomi Givens. She's the British intelligence agent. And what her role is, because at first, when it first started, I was getting the feeling that maybe she was someone that, you know, that they had planted, because that woman said, you know, she goes, we're gonna send someone 6 months, you know, blah, you know, later or whatever.
Oh right, yeah, I know what you're saying.
So, but I didn't quite understand that. If you're trying to stop someone, why would you send them 6 months later? Wouldn't you send them 6 months earlier?
Or 5 minutes later? Maybe they were waiting given time for the plan to take effect. I mean, who knows?
I guess. I'm trying to find that one part where she says it.
Yeah, I had to read it twice just to make sure I was clear on everything. I wondered why too. Like, why 6 months later? Like, I mean,
oh, maybe here it is.
Something about that.
Yeah, in the next panel it says a world we created with the splitter, a habitable alternate continuum is ours, and he's already there in there 1945 doing what he has to do to ensure the desired outcome. And then she goes, not if I port two of our boys 6 months further up the timeline. Marines, whatever he's done in the meantime stateside, we stop it in Germany.
Yeah, I mean, one of my thoughts is maybe...
And then they go to August 1945, which is 6 months later from February 1945.
Yeah, my thought is maybe if you sent them back before, maybe that would be a different timeline, and those guys wouldn't show up in that time.
Right.
I don't know if that's how that works. I don't know. I mean, I'm assuming that's something that either maybe will be explained or...
Well, then it ends at, you know, the very end is like that dude saying, mm-hmm. I hear you got some people... You know, you have a prisoner that I'm interested in seeing.
You're the ones that came through the portal on the B-52s or whatever, the B-17 bombers.
Well, I don't think they came in on those. They actually collided with those.
Either way. There was just a few things in there that I didn't really add up for me, which kind of took it down a little bit for me. But I'll go probably just based on, like, whatever you guys say. You know, if you guys continue and like it, then maybe I'll check out a few more. But, like, for right now, you know, if we're ready to number it, I don't know. I mean, are we?
Yeah, sure.
I mean, it was decent. I was probably like a 6.5.
Yeah, it was okay. There were parts I liked. Other parts I didn't really know if I liked. I might read it a second time just to be sure, but I'm probably at a 6.
I'm at an 8.
Yeah, I was. I always write these down. My numbers down.
Eight,
so
eight
not,
and a half. I would say.
Yeah, I was. Write my numbers down, so I'm not influenced by you guys if I can help it. And before I had reread it, I had written a 7 down, but then I changed it to an 8 after I read it for the second time. I got a lot more out of it the second time. And I just I'm curious, and you know I guess part of me wants to. Really support like the idea of bringing someone like William Gibson into comics. I want it to be successful, so
I think he's got a strong story going so far. I think he's got like a lot of intrigue to it.
Yeah, I'll tell you the first.
There's a definite like cloud of mystery, and there's you know there's some shadiness going on. And
when you go, if you open it up and you go to the second page, the top panel. Is who I'm assuming is maybe the main antagonist, like having his bandages removed or whatever. The expression on his face is so funny. Like
he's got like a shit grin.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's like, man, I look awesome.
He looks fucking ridiculous. So, like, I think once I got past that, anything else ridiculous, I was like, well,
Nothing beats that first panel.
He looks like a dude that only cares about himself.
Well, if you guys do keep going, let me know.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Based on your recommendations, I might... Maybe I'll wait for the trade or something, but...
Yeah, the complicated nature of it, I'm going to say a trade is probably going to be the better way to read this.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, William Gibson not being a comic writer, it probably wasn't paced the way a comic writer would pace it, so he's probably learning that stuff. But
I think it did feel more like you're reading a book with pictures, but I liked it. I thought it was cool.
Yeah, because I was just going to say, I remember when I read an interview with Stephen King shortly after the first arc of American Vampire came out, and he said that when him and Scott Snyder were going back and forth over email, he said he felt completely stupid because everything he'd send Scott Snyder, he'd send an email back going, "We can't do this. This is how this is done." Blah blah blah. And he's like, it was like learning how to write all over again because I'd never written. He's like, I've had my stuff adapted, but I've never written a comic before.
Was that about Lock and Key?
No, American Vampire.
Oh.
Because he created Skinner Sweet.
Joe Hill did?
No, Stephen King.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, alright, you're talking about Stephen King. Okay, I was thinking
Stephen King co-wrote the first arc of American Vampire with Scott Snyder.
Oh, wow.
He didn't continue after that, but the first, six issues they wrote together.
Sweet.
Cool.
So, moving on, long-time listeners will be... are familiar with the fact that we like to support local artists and local creators, and we're also fans of and friends of the cosplay community. So I was just reading here on Bleeding Cool, there was a cosplayer, I believe she was based in Detroit, who had a lot of her book stuff, her booth set up, and a lot of her costumes in her car, which was stolen in front of her house. So she's got a little GoFundMe page set up to kind of help her get her book displays back on top, back into con order, and get some of the costumes remade. And also, I believe the draft for her the book that she's releasing soon, I believe that was also in the car. I could be wrong, but it's just kind of shitty. And I feel like if anybody is interested in helping support her
because Scott can't.
Well, I'm going to reach out in a minute, but name is Rachel Carroll, and we'll post her GoFundMe on our Review and Roast Facebook page, so keep an eye out for that if you're interested in helping out.
I'll share that, too. That was such a bummer to read that.
Right? It's pretty...
That sinking feeling she must have had when she realized, no, you didn't park it somewhere different. It's just fucking gone. That must have been so fucking awful.
Yeah. And it's kind of shitty. If you go down the page and you start reading people's comments on the GoFundMe, there's some pretty rude people on there. People get their shit stolen all the time. That's not what this site is for. It's like that. It's exactly what this site is for. What is wrong with you?
Yeah, it's not
how dare you build a community?
Right, yeah.
Well, it's not like your car just got stolen. Your insurance will, step in to handle some of that, but all of her belongings were stolen. That's kind of what the GoFundMe is. People are weird.
I mean, if I was in the midst of writing my next novel and this, it got stolen, I'd be pretty upset. That's a lot of hard work, what I'm saying? Whatever.
Why'd she have it all in her car?
Yeah, I mean, that's a thing. But I mean, it's.
Well, it's her fault that she left in her car.
No, I was just gonna piggyback on what Scott was saying, and just say that. I mean, why is it on there? I mean, because she contributes to our scene and our community. I mean, she's a contributor to this. So, and the things that allow her to contribute are gone now.
Right. Yeah.
It's a whole other thing. But yeah, leaving shit in your car, it sucks. But I mean. Whatever. I mean, that just sucks. I'm not gonna.
Yeah. Well. That's not. I'm not saying that's a reason to steal.
I mean, I'm not gonna lie. I've left my tablet and stuff in the car. I've left laptops
in the
car.
That's not a smart choice,
but
yeah, that's not a reason for someone to. That's not a reason for someone to go steal it. It's not like it's.
Well, I don't think
it's your fault because you left it in there.
I don't think the person that stole the car was going. Nope. No, BMW. No. No, I don't want a Lexus. No. Ooh, cosplay. Nailed it. Let's get out of here.
unless it's a creepy stalker or something.
Well,
yeah, that'd be weird.
You never know.
Some guy shows up to a con as her. He's got like a beard and a wig. Hi, I'm the cosplay guy. Right,
this is getting weird now.
Sorry.
What I'm saying is that we're on the case.
Yeah. Somehow delete what I just said.
Nope. We're going to make that the intro to every show from now on.
Well, I'm not trying to make fun of the situation.
No, I know. No. I know. It definitely sucks. So, apparently, Comixology is starting to do... almost like a Netflix for comics, right? Is that what I'm reading? I didn't read the article, but I'll let you go ahead and ramble.
You pretty much said it all. I mean, Comixology is doing a subscription thing, $5.99, all the comics you can read. I mean, Marvel and DC have decided they're not involved. I think they're doing their own thing, but from what I read...
That would be great for me, then.
From what I read, all the creators were notified, all the publishers are giving... this service only specific things, like for more current things you'll only get like volume one of the trade. Older stuff will probably be more prominent on there. They're thinking that it'll spur people to buy more. I guess some creators are really excited, others, and they hit a whole list of people's comments on Twitter. Some people are like, this is going to be great. Other people are like, yeah, they haven't worked out how we're going to get royalties out of this. We may not see any at all. This could actually hurt our sales. And I know like Ed Brubaker is not particularly thrilled about it. Nick Spencer, I believe, was also one who kind of expressed some concerns.
Is this what you were talking about yesterday about the Twitter?
Oh, no. That's
something entirely different.
We'll actually piggyback onto that in a minute.
Okay.
Well, I'm torn because $5.99, I mean, right now I've got so much stuff to read, I don't really need it. But, like, I thought maybe in a month or a few months, maybe I might give it a few months to see what's on there. And I guess the idea is, like, oh, check out a series and maybe you'll want to go buy the whole thing. I don't know. It might.
It might. I mean, coming from a music perspective, someone who's done records for most of my adult life, I think people should download my shit for free all the time. I think that's completely fine. But music's different because, I mean, when I sell physical records and whatever, you know, tapes or whatever the thing is going to be, like that's what I sell. Or I go to a show and I play and I get paid to play the show. Or I go on tour, or I make shirts. Like we make our money that way. The music itself, I mean, the music's invisible, you know, it's just, and then if you download it, it's just fucking ones and zeros, it's fine, I don't care about that, but I know for comics or books or movies, it's a little different, because it's not like you, like, download Star Wars, and you're like, I download Star Wars free, now I'm going to go buy the Star Wars record, or go see Star Wars live, you know?
Right.
So it's different, like, I try to use the perspective of being someone who's been in this argument before with other friends' bands, like, Well, all of my friends' bands, of course, are all Giant, and all of them live off them. So they're, you know, they'll say like, oh, you know, that cuts into my royalties and stuff. And I'm like, but I mean, does it really? I mean, you know, you're on Relapse. You know? I mean, how much fucking big could your royalty check be compared to what you get paid after a tour? So,
and at this point, anybody with any kind of computer savvy could just hop on YouTube and download your shit for free anyway.
Yeah, totally. I mean. When I realized when my cable went away and I didn't have HBO, I was like, oh, I can't watch Game of Thrones anymore. Oh, wait, yes, I can. Wait, I have the internet. I can watch whatever I want, whenever I want.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's different. But I think for this comics thing, like, I mean, and to me, I'm kind of like, oh, I don't care. Because, I mean, I fucking hate reading comics on digital platforms. So $5.99, like, maybe I would do it just to read some things that I might not want to pick up. But. In general, like, I'm going to go to a store and buy comics, even if I did get the Comixology thing. But I've tried to use Comixology a couple of times, and they kind of – I think it kind of sucks. Like, I can't find anything I want. Anything I want to read, it says, like, you know, add to wish list or whatever.
I was using it periodically because every once in a while they'd be like, oh, these 20 trades for $4.99. I'd be like, oh, that's not bad. And I'd grab something that way, but other than that, I don't really like reading them digitally either.
You know what? I'm not the biggest fan, but when I, like, with the number one of Department H, I bought it on my Kindle, it's a totally different experience when it's properly made for a digital device.
Yes, I actually got Department H for digitally too, and I read on my phone, which is awful, but it still was pretty good compared to the some of the other stuff I've read on Comixology.
Yeah, like if I tapped on it while I was reading it, it brought up each panel separately as it's almost as its own page. So instead of reading the whole page on a small screen, it would just blow up one panel at a time for me.
Oh, okay.
I mean, it's, when it's properly done and done well, it can be nice. But then you turn it into, I can't grow my Amazon store because, you know, I can't sell a digital comic.
Right.
Because anything that we do on the show or anything I buy that I don't like, I put it on my Amazon. So I've got like 30 books up there right now, you know. And, you know, go through some dry patches, but every now and then I'll sell 3, 4, 5 books a week. You know, it's whatever. It's fun. Something to do. Crickets. Crickets.
Sorry, I put you on mute again.
Oh.
I was making a cup of coffee.
Man, that sounds good. Sweet. So, do you want to go around with your little Twitter war there?
Yeah, the Nick Spencer thing was, I don't know, yesterday the new Captain America number one came out, and there's a big reveal at the end. So, I mean, this is a huge spoiler, but it's been on Time Magazine's website now, so I think everybody knows. Nick Spencer starts his run at the end. It turns out he's been a sleeper agent for Hydra for 75 years. And his mother actually was a Hydra operative back in the 30s before World War II started. So Captain America's been a fraud all these years. That's how the story begins. And Nick Spencer went from zero to the most hated man in America yesterday. And I was reading some of the Twitter comments, and people were, I mean, they ranged from "you've ruined Captain America" to "you're an anti-Semite." You've turned Steve Rogers into a homosexual, which I don't know what the hell that means. And some people legitimately said, I'm Googling your address and I'm going to come murder you. You've ruined Steve Rogers. I'm like, whoa. And then it segued into people tweeting Ed Brubaker that he's to blame because he killed Captain America 7 or 8 years ago, which then gave everyone else free reign to do whatever they want with Captain America. So it's actually now Ed Brubaker's fault because he started this and he's made it, you know, a free for all on Steve Rogers. So I was reading Ed Brubaker's Twitter and he's like, I have nothing to do with this. Why are you yelling at me? And I'm like, oh my God, the internet is going, it's gone haywire yesterday. And I'm not going to lie, it was pretty funny. I mean, it was insane, but also hilarious.
That sounds like a lot of fun.
Oh, I'm sure Ed Brubaker was ready to murder everybody on the planet yesterday. Because he literally was getting, like, he'd tweet something, and then there'd be a thread a mile long of people going, you don't know what you're talking about. And then he'd try and respond. He'd try and be measured, but people were just screaming at him. He's like, how am I even involved? I haven't even read it yet. And Nick Spencer posted something about, if I could respond to a 9,000-word Twitter, I forget what he said, but he said something yesterday. He goes, somehow I'm the most hated man in America, and Donald Trump is the front runner to be the president of the United States. He goes, the world we live in is just gone insane. But I, at the same time, he was also like, this is exactly the reaction I wanted, which made me go, Nick Spencer's a marketing genius.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, that's not the end of the run, right? That was the end of the one issue, right?
Oh, it was, yeah. He's planning to do this for a couple of years, apparently.
Yeah, let's see how this all plays out. I mean, if superheroes never die, I mean, I think that, you know, we'll see where the story will go, because that seems silly to be that upset. I don't know.
Man, reading the comments yesterday were hysterical. I mean, it's scary if you're Nick Spencer, but for me, just whoa.
There's definitely a part of me that wants to see the homosexual Captain America part, though.
But that's just it. The thing that people have, like, grabbed onto as the big reveal of him being not heterosexual is so... It makes no sense. It was something like, you've given him a dual personality, therefore he's actually homosexual. I was like, what?
Wait, what? So that isn't in the comic, right? I am correct that was just like a crazy thing people were saying.
No, this was like subtext of subtext of subtext of a thought process of a footnote of a story that had nothing to do with Captain America at all. People like read into like something like he had blue shoes in the last issue, and now he's got red on, and red was this, and if you watch the movie Hair, it's like what?
That kind of sounds like people were maybe fucking with him, but that's...
I don't know, because like I said, I read this on the Daily Beast, I read it on Huffington Post, I read it on The Guardian and Time.com, and every thread on Facebook that coincided with those articles where he's ruined Captain America, Marvel should be shut down forever, and people's opinions are like way off the charts. It's just... I'm sure I'm going to buy it, and I'm going to read it and go, hey, it was just all right. I don't know what people are so upset about.
Well, I'm certainly curious.
It's just, I had just listened to the Nick Spencer episode of Word Balloon last week, and you could tell that he likes to be obnoxious. Like, it's not like he doesn't like the characters necessarily. It's just, he is an obnoxious guy by nature, and I don't mean that in a bad way. I mean, like, you could tell he's very influenced by comedy. And he likes to push people's buttons and, you know, do things with these books that are going to not necessarily be in line with previous runs necessarily. And he said on there, he goes, you know, with this last run, I purposely went after this group. So this time I'm going to switch gears and go after this group. And he goes, I'm not trying to pick on anybody. I'm trying to pick on everybody. And it's like, he's totally having fun getting people riled up. Which is why I think he's actually a mad genius.
That sounds pretty cool to me. So,
yeah, I hope the comic is as good as it is in my head right now, because in my head it's the best thing that's come out in 5 years. Something tells me it's just going to be it's all right.
Man, I'm definitely going to check it out. Real quick on a Marvel note, did you guys, anyone pick up the Becky Cloonan Punisher?
No, but it looks amazing, and now that Steve Dillon's doing the artwork, I'm really kind of interested.
Yeah, I sort of kind of love her, and I think she's awesome, and her drawings are so fucking killer, and I've read a couple things she's written, but I'm super excited for this. And that was one of the things about Comixology, which I guess you're saying that Marvel's not going to do it, and that maybe that's why I couldn't get it.
Yeah,
but I tried to find it at the shop, and I couldn't find it at the shop. It must be sold out or something. So I was like, ah, fuck. Well, maybe I'll just download it. I really want to see it. And then it was just like, you know, add to your wish list. I could see the cover, you know, and I could see a couple sample pages, but that was it. And I was like, well, fuck this. Wow, what's the point of this thing?
All I saw was I flipped through it last weekend. I saw Steve Dillon doing the artwork, which got me excited, and it says "Not for Kids" really big on the cover. So,
that's awesome.
Oh, then I'll have to check that out.
Well, I flipped through the first three pages, and there were F bombs and blood and guts everywhere. So,
all right,
definitely up your alley for sure.
Yeah, because that other run that Edmondson did sucked balls.
To put it lightly.
Yeah, well, you might as well just had the Punisher selling Tupperware.
Hey, people need
and
fresh produce.
The one part I'm actually mad about is because when it came out, I actually asked, how's this Punisher? It's really good. Is it kind of like how Garth Ennis, you know, is pretty violent? Oh, yeah. I go and take it home and read it. I'm like, this is great. Fucking Frank Castle in California. What's he doing? He's surfing, getting a suntan.
So he made a sale.
He's going to Napa Valley to buy some wine. Awesome. This is really what I see envision the Punisher doing.
Go on.
I'm liking this sideways version of Frank Castle. Is he gonna like team up with Matt Murdock and go on a wacky adventure to wine country?
Going to Napa Valley, he's got khakis on and a pink polo.
That sounds pretty awesome, actually.
Got to get your book done. Get it in the libraries.
I'm into it.
All right, cool. I'll check that out too. You guys should. If you guys don't follow Becky Cloonan on Twitter, you totally should too. She's awesome.
I'm pretty sure I do.
She constantly posts like stuff about metal.
and then a bunch of her amazing drawings. We should interview her so I can.
Yeah, I am. Talk like an idiot. Following her. I am already following her.
Yeah, she's awesome.
You want to interview her? Why now?
Oh, just so I can sound like a total idiot.
Oh, okay.
I get fanboy about like random people, and for some reason she is one. I think it's because I just all the rad metal stuff she always puts on there. I was like, oh gosh, she's so fucking cool. I just want to be her friend. Like, I want to be her bro so bad.
I'm into it.
Sorry,
Brubaker to put something that says it's nice. I'm not getting abuse from lunatics about Captain America. A comic I haven't worked on over 5 years.
Sweet. Alrighty. Over under for this week was regional cuisines. You know, California style, New York this, Chicago that, Philly this. Overrated for me, California style. Like, it seems like all you do is and don't get me wrong, I like myself some guacamole or some avocado, but. You know, you can't just throw that on whatever and be like, "Oh, now it's California style." You know what I mean? I mean, am I wrong? It's like California style equals avocado and or like goat cheese.
Get your California burger.
Yeah. Yeah. What's on
avocado and Thousand Island dressing?
Yeah. It's like, dude, that's weak. Get a real cuisine.
I agree. The Wyoming burger is way better.
It is dope. It's as dope as the Shazam movie is going to be.
It's as dope as the fucking Montana fucking spaghetti.
Ew. Yeah, what the hell is that? Montana spaghetti.
Dude, I'm opening a restaurant and that's going to be our special.
Wait, what's the place that puts chili on spaghetti?
Cincinnati.
Oh, okay.
That's basically weird. Just chili mac.
I saw that on Anthony Bourdain like 5 years ago.
It's just chili mac, dude, with a different noodle.
Okay. Don't yell at me.
I am going
to
yell at you.
I think he does need to yell at you. You don't know nothing about your chili macs.
I love chili mac.
I kind of feel like you should be yelling at me because I was the one who asked if I didn't.
All right. Well, my over. I'm sorry?
No, good.
Oh, okay. My overrated is Wisconsin cuisine, because every time I've eaten food that's not, like, Subway in Wisconsin, I seem to get violently ill. And the pizza is, I don't even know what the hell that is. It's not pizza that I'm familiar with, that's all I know. So, sorry, Wisconsin is a good place to visit, but just don't eat food there. Unless you really must.
plan your vacation in between your meals.
Any experience I've had at a restaurant in Wisconsin, I'm like, oh, dude, I need to go lay down for the rest of the night. I'm done. It's game over time.
Chicago deep dish is overrated.
You are the absolute worst.
Yeah, you're fired.
Sorry, don't like it.
You are the...
Where are you getting it? Domino's?
Yeah, well, exactly. Where are you buying it from? Domino's?
No.
Do they make a version of that for you guys out there?
I don't think so.
What?
Okay. Like, you're... do they make
I'm sure
like
they
a...
do it. They do it over by you.
No, there's nothing Chicago at all can happen here. Like, I've wanted to. I fucking love your guys' pizza so much.
Thank you. John Stewart.
I like
doesn't.
The New York style pizza quite a bit. I mean, I like that a
That's
lot.
That's how
well.
I like it.
But I fucking love the Chicago pizza. And maybe it's because I've only had it like 4 times in my life. I've been to Chicago like 25 times, but I think I've only, for some reason, got pizza about 4 or 5 times there. Oh. And every time it's just been so awesome. Been like, fuck, why isn't this in every city?
Well, if you were
like,
here that
so
one
good.
Other time, it would have been 26 times then.
That's true.
And if you would have came that other time, it would have been 27.
Mm-hmm. But then
I'm talking about
skip the fourth time,
broken
to go back to 26. Yeah, no, I know. I'm
kidding. You couldn't help it. You had car troubles. Gosh.
I know. That sucked. But yeah, fuck, dude, I love that pizza so much. It's so good. There's some place, I can't remember the name. I'd have to ask my bass player because he's a guy from Crown Point. And there's this place in Chicago. He's like, every time we go, we got to get pizza from this place. And he made this fucking insane pizza be delivered to the house we're staying at.
Not Leona's.
I don't think so. If you said it, I might know. I might recognize
there's
it.
There's Pizzeria Uno, like... Lou Malnati's.
Giordano's.
Giordano's. I think that's it. That sounds familiar.
It's pretty good.
Giordano's is the deep dish. Like, that's kind of like the most popular
spot.
Yeah.
So is Lou Malnati's and Pizza Uno or whatever.
Yeah. Lou Malnati's
well,
is all
right. That was the last
Lou Malnati's is known for their deep dish.
I don't think I've ever had it.
It's all right.
They got the
I'm coming out.
Butter
I'm going to come out and see you guys.
Cool.
I mean, yeah. I mean, you guys are part of it, but I mean, pizza, dude.
I mean, I'll meet you at the pizza place.
You don't have to ask me twice, dude.
Yeah, I was going to say, just be like, pizza, and I'll be like, where?
I mean, Brian and I, we go to Giordano's like twice a month.
We don't.
We were just there 2 weeks ago.
We've gone there twice this year. That's the first time in a while.
Well, you got to bust my chops on the air.
I'm just saying. We did have deep dish, though. It was really good.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I bet it was.
But we did order California style, which was weird.
You got some sprouts on there?
It was a joke. Yeah, sprouts and avocados.
Instead of cheese, it's just a huge thick thing of cream cheese.
Actually, it might be kind of good.
No, that one place has that. Never mind. That was ricotta.
That was so good.
This one place around here, they make like, it's not a deep dish pizza. It's like a thick, thin crust. But underneath the cheese, they also put like a layer of ricotta cheese. Oh my God. It's like the greatest idea. I mean, you feel not sick, but you feel just like a bag of grease when you're done. But it's totally worth it.
I think the word you're looking for there is amazing.
No, I'm saying it's like, it's not a good feeling. Not like
a
sick
great feeling.
No, it's not a sick feeling. It's a, oh my God, I feel horrible about my life feeling. But while you're eating it, you're like, I am living the dream. Like, I feel my entire body expanding, like, rapidly while I eat this stuff. But it's so good.
It's awesome.
I drive by that place every morning, too.
Ah, it's awesome. So it sounds like Chris Mayer got outvoted on his...
Oh, big time.
Absolutely.
Oh, man. I actually messed this up. So should I wing one? Or...
You took it a different way?
Unless you meant buffalo wings, then that's fine.
No, what I didn't catch... For some reason, I thought it was like food that's specific of a region. You know, like deep dish pizza or fucking spaghetti on... Like chili on spaghetti. Like, I was thinking like foods that are popular for being from a certain region.
That works. That's,
that would work.
Yeah, okay. That's fine.
Because not, I mean, even though I've been everywhere, I still like, I just focused on Seattle. So I just picked something I think that's overrated about Seattle, that's very Seattle, and something I thought was underrated. So,
no, that's fine too.
Okay. So I fucked it up, but for me, overrated is the way that we eat our hot dogs here, which is a bun, cream cheese, sriracha, grilled onions.
What?
That's what we all do.
What?
Yeah. Cream cheese, sriracha, grilled onions.
Who came up with that?
I don't know, but it's like about 5 or 10 years ago it started to sort of pop up on our hot dog carts. And then now that's just, I mean, you just, when you go up to a hot dog cart, you're like, I just want, you know, give me a dog. And that's what they give you. Like that, they know that's what you want. Like you have to, if you don't want it on there, I don't know if this is actually true, but the places I've been, you just say like, yeah, give me one, you know, give me one. And they give you one of those. Unless if you don't want that, you say, give me one with plain or give me one sauerkraut or give me one, you know, whatever. I mean, we have some hot dog carts that are fucking insane. They have like every kind of hot dog has like a tiny video, like a little GIF that's playing on its own screen.
Wow.
And you can get like a hot dog that has cheesesteak on it. And all this crazy shit. But that's like the quintessential like Seattle dog. Cream cheese, sriracha, and grilled onions. It's actually quite good, but I'm fucking sick of them. And I'm sick of the fact that it's now become a thing too. Like... that's just, you know, what everyone fucking has here. So, but I will say it is pretty delicious, that combination. But I'm over it. I'm putting a halt on it for 6 months at least.
I'm just still baffled. That doesn't even... Like, I feel like I need to go shopping, but I feel like I don't want to waste my money.
Yeah, just if you're ever out here, get one then. But it's like, because it's not the cream cheese, and is such like a, it's just a soft cheese, really. So it kind of works with the whole thing. The only problem is the cream cheese and the bun are kind of a similar texture. So you're kind of just like, it's like a kind of more soft around your hot dog. But then the sriracha's got a little bit of that vinegar and the spice to it, and that gives you, like, that kind of cuts through it a little bit, and then the onions have a little bit of texture if they're cooked right. So it's pretty good for, like, a simple, kind of simple, clean sort of flavor, but I'm just kind of irritated by its existence right now. Last couple months, I've been just like, nope, not having that. I'm having fucking sauerkraut and mustard like I usually used to, a little celery salt.
See, that sounds more like a hot dog than I would get.
Yeah, that's my usual jam. But I switched over to those when I saw my old roommate got one. And I was like, oh, that looks kind of good. And he tried it. I go, oh, that's fucking awesome. I'm also just kind of over sriracha. Maybe not so much because I don't like the flavor of it, because it hurts my tummy.
It became a thing, like, out of nowhere, too. Like, it was nowhere, and then now it's everywhere. And now it's kind of like just some places. That was a weird
analogy. I'll say, if you ever get bad, like if you go to a pizza place and the pizza's not very good, a little sriracha on top of the pizza really helps.
I just use crushed red pepper for my spice.
I just feel like sriracha would ruin my day, so I'm not going.
Yeah, you should have the day off the next day.
Yeah, there are certain things I need like a week to recover from, and I think that would be one of them.
Alrighty. Underrated. This is probably going to sound super biased because I'm from here, but Chicago-style food is the best fucking food in this country. You can sit there and say New York pizza all day. Yeah, you're out of your mind. Chicago pizza is better. Chicago-style hot dogs are the best. Maxwell Street Polish is the best. We have everything here that's the best. So
our Italian beef sandwiches.
Yeah, I mean...
Jepson's Malort?
Huh?
Jepson's Malort's from there?
I never even heard of it.
Chicago-style popcorn mix is also the best.
Yeah, I mean, I'm
what
just...
What is that?
Caramel and cheese popcorn.
It sounds weird, but it actually does kind of work.
No, it works so... Yeah, it works perfectly.
Yeah,
well.
Like, I avoided it, like, most of my life, but I had it, like, a couple years ago. I'm like, oh, my God. This is amazing.
That sounds good. A little sweet, a little salty. I'm into it.
I wish I had a pillow filled with that shit.
But I mean, there's so many foods from here that are just famous the world round.
We just rule, period.
Yeah. Well, settle down there, Captain New York Pizza.
Well, that's only.
We're
give me a tombstone. That's it.
We are like
That's my only thing.
We, and I mean, you two guys, when I say we, are like super obnoxious right now. Really obnoxious.
What do you mean?
We're the best.
Dude, we are. Chicago gets shit on all the time.
We do?
Everybody raves about the two coasts.
New York or California.
No, and everyone always shits on the middle bits, and we're part of the middle bits, and people will.
We're not part of the middle
bits.
People
like to overlook the fact that Chicago is an awesome city.
It's all right. I'll just say rats and leave it there.
You go move to New York, and I bet you within 2 days you'll be thinking Chicago rules.
No, because rats are on live TV in New York. Forget that.
Rats are everywhere. You're not going to get away from them no matter where.
No, they just show up like on television, though, in New York. That's how bad it is. I'm not even kidding when I say that. It was like a week ago. They were doing a live broadcast on Good Morning America, and a rat just ran across the screen. They're like, oh my god, there's a rat, and I just showed it like weaving in and out of the people. I was like, all right, they got a big problem. We've got
to stop tearing down buildings, man.
Yeah, just leave up the old rundown hobo hotels.
I gotta build cool big buildings floating above the city, rat free,
like the Jetsons.
Duh. What are you waiting for? All right, since I ripped on Wisconsin, I'm gonna throw one back at them. Milwaukee. The food is pretty good in Milwaukee. And by good, I mean Pizza Shuttle is amazing.
I'll agree with that.
We have been bored on a Saturday night and drove to Milwaukee just for their breadsticks. Why? I have no idea.
When was that? Like 15 years ago?
Yes. Oh, 20 years ago. Like, yeah. More than once, we'd be sitting around on a Saturday at like 4:30. What do you guys want to do? Who wants to go to Pizza Shuttle? Next thing you know, we're in the car on our way to Milwaukee.
And here's the best part. We never knew where it was. We always would get to the area and then just drive around until we found it, or would stop and ask for people, like, where's this at? Because we never were 100% sure where it was. We just knew.
It wasn't too far from, where were they doing shows in Milwaukee, that one place? What was it called?
The Globe?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was not too far from the Globe.
Yeah, but that's all I remember. It was, like, right around there.
I think back to that time when Drop-In Skate Park used to have the midnight sessions that would go on till like 4:30 in the morning. And why we didn't go, hey, let's go to Drop-In and see if there's going to be a late session. No, let's go to Milwaukee for freaking pizza.
That's no, a good... I got a good story about Pizza Shuttle and Halil from Damnation.
Is there a story that's going to follow?
Or... Yeah. Okay. Listen to this. So... Damnation obviously played Milwaukee, and then we all went to Pizza Shuttle afterwards. So we're all looking for a spot to sit down, and someone had already left. Like, some other people had left, and, you know, obviously they left, you know, and their table still needed to be cleaned up. Halil goes up to the table, and there's some french fries there, and just starts eating them. And Jason Gagowski and I look at each other, and Jason goes, what the fuck?
He's on tour, man.
He just started eating someone's fucking shit on the table.
I thought the story was going to be awesome. It was just okay.
And then he ordered a drink. What?
I thought you were going to tell me he like took his arm and like wiped everything off the table onto the floor and then sat down and pounded the table and said, "Feed me now."
Well, you know what? Next time we go out to eat, whatever's left over from that other person, you can go ahead and eat it.
I will not do that.
Okay, then.
I might do
but
that.
He just did it so, like, he just fucking did it. He's like, yeah, fuck it, man. I'm going to eat some fucking fries that whoever fucking slobbered all over him, I don't really care.
I feel like I would be okay with that if I was on tour. I mean, not at home is different. At home, you're expected to behave a certain way, but when you're out of
town. I guess you
got to
do what you
got to
do when you're on tour.
Yeah, dude, you live on $5 per diems. Like, even nowadays... It's hard. You see some food. I mean, it's.
Well, I wasn't expecting it at the time. He just kind of went up and just started chomping on. I'm like, oh, okay.
Because he's living it, man. That's awesome. Good for
I
him.
I personally wouldn't have done it, but.
Well, no, you shouldn't. I mean, it's your, you know, you're in your home turf. That's weird. Those people will see you again.
But anyway, so. Thanks for ruining my story, Brian.
You're welcome.
Where do we leave off?
Chris's turn.
You know, I'm not really satisfied with Brian's answer. I thought that answer was kind of hokey.
I don't know. I didn't.
At least he has one. Captain never has answers.
I have one. Chicago-style popcorn, dude.
It's not like when I went to Detroit all the time, I was experiencing the Detroit cuisine. I would go to... You know,
I don't even think
Wendy's.
Milwaukee has cuisine per se regional to them.
Sausage, dude.
Anything special they do?
Sausage is like a big thing. Like,
oh yeah, that's right. Yeah, Wisconsin.
Bratwurst, Polish sausage, like that sort of thing is like what Milwaukee's known for.
News to me.
And Laverne and Shirley.
And beer and like different kinds of sausage are really. Kind of the staple of Milwaukee
sausage.
from what I've always been of the of the mind of.
Okay. Oh yeah, Milwaukee's best. That's pretty good beer.
Yeah. Hence the name Green Bay Packers.
Yeah.
Oh, is that a reference to making beer?
No, sausage.
Oh, sausage.
Yeah, like meat packing.
Meat packing. Yeah.
Yeah, because
I
think
the
Green
Packers
Bay-
Union or something used to be up there.
Well, Green Bay's a port city.
Yeah.
I'm learning so much.
You know, we try to educate on this show.
Yeah. I appreciate it.
Well, all right. We have
Chicago style popcorn, cheese and caramel. Can't go wrong. Yeah. Sounds kind of weird. Actually, the best thing you'll ever taste.
Agreed.
One of the best things you'll ever taste.
Yeah.
Is there a certain way that I mean, because I think cheese popcorn, I think caramel popcorn. I mean, I think of like the stuff you buy in the store. It's got like the cheese powder on it and like the
yeah.
Is that or, stuff right?
It is, but like you got to go to like a popcorn store, like Garrett's.
Yeah, if
around
you go to
here.
Garrett's or
Butter Up is another one around here.
No, what's the other? There's two of them downtown. There's Garrett's and then there's another one. They're kind of. They both do it.
I'm not sure, but I mean, I'm sure you can go on like Garrett's.com or some crap and buy it straight from here. It might not be as good as when you buy it fresh out the bag out of the shop, but you know.
I mean, they even got like little shops set up like at the train stations down here, like in Union, and maybe we'll get you some and send you some.
I would be into that.
I can't promise you that it will be like a whole bag because it might get eaten by the time I put
it
in.
I just wonder how fresh it would stay on the way there, you know? Because they make it right there in the store, like right in front of your face when you order it, you know? Like it's, yeah, whatever.
It's super good.
Moving on.
I'm into it. Okay, so since I screwed mine up, I will do my underrated Seattle thing we do that I think is great. That is dying out because it's an old person thing. And that is tartar sauce on fries instead of ketchup.
That actually sounds pretty good.
Well, I know... I was going to say, I know in Europe they just do mayonnaise, and tartar sauce is basically just mayonnaise and relish, is it not? Is this mic on? Hello?
Hello?
Hey! No, sorry.
All right.
Okay, we're good. Okay, so tartar sauce on french fries.
Yes. And I heard Scott start to say, well, you know, and that's when it disappeared.
Yeah, I was going to say, in Europe, I'm pretty sure they just use mayo. And isn't tartar sauce basically just mayonnaise and relish combined?
Yeah, that's basically it.
Okay. Yeah, I feel like I would like that.
Uh-oh.
Hi.
Yeah, uh-oh. It's good. It's, no, I'm back. Someone called me like a jerk.
Oh.
No, it's good. It, you know, a little goes a long way. I mean, I will often in the while eating fries with tartar sauce, I will switch to something else like ketchup or something because it does get a little heavy. It is, but it is very like Scandinavian, which my neighborhood specifically is a Scandinavian neighborhood, and I think that's just kind of what it caught on here. I mean, Seattle in general has a lot of people from Northern Europe here, so. We brought a lot of that stuff with us. But yeah, the tartar sauce on fries is a big thing here. Like, my wife works at a diner, and she just has to ask every person, you want tartar sauce or your fries? It's like when you go to Canada and they ask you, like at the Denny's, they ask if you want gravy with your fries.
We have a lot of Mexicans and Polish people here.
That sounds great. It's like a good combination, actually.
That's what I am.
That's awesome.
My mom's Mexican and my dad's Polish.
Also Italian and...
Yeah, we got a lot of that too.
Italian, Irish as well.
but mostly Polish and Latino.
I do want to touch back here on your popcorn. Looking at Garrett's website, when you go to purchase the popcorn online, the tin sizes are 1 gallon, 2 gallon, 3.5 gallon, and 6.5 gallon.
And they're probably not cheap.
And a shorty pack. I don't know what that is, but who needs 6.5 gallons worth of popcorn? That seems like that's excessive.
I could probably do 2.
Yeah, the 6.5 gallon tub is $140.
Fucking A. Well, how much is the 1 gallon, though?
Oh, geez. The shorty pack is $150. The 1 gallon... is $37.
That's still quite a bit for popcorn.
Yeah, I was thinking a shorty pack or whatever would be like a bag.
A sampler?
Something. Yeah, right, not a $50 tub. Man, this is getting silly. All righty.
You know, real quick, I think I need... I'm actually really surprised you guys don't know Jepson's Malort.
I might have to look it up.
Oh, is that alcohol?
Yeah, that's like... that. Apparently,
well, how would I know that then?
Well, it's really it had an amazing ad campaign a few years ago, where people sent in like their own suggestions, because apparently the stuff is so brutal that drinking it like will fuck you up, like just every part of your body, like your head will just die. But it's just so intense. And some of the ads were like, when you need to unfriend someone in person, or my favorite one was, tonight's the night you fight your dad.
Well, I'm looking at their website, and their homepage has the logo, and it's got the little descriptor. And in the photo that's in the background is of a guy with his head in his lap. Looks like he's just ill beyond all measure. So that's a pretty good way to... I've
never even heard of this stuff.
No, I remember he asked about it a few months ago, and I think there was a YouTube clip that I watched where the one guy was drinking it and just becoming far, far more removed from reality with every sip, to the point where I think he was going, I am a lizard, man, and he like fell over and that was the end of that. But the whole time he's trying to sell it.
I got to read you a couple more of these slogans. So the number one that won, they had a slogan contest, was, it tastes like the day dad left.
You know what that sounds like? A song title for dead guy.
Number two, Malort, because Blagojevich wasn't the worst thing to come out of Chicago. Let's see. What soap washes its mouth out with? It's pretty good. Let's see. What else is it? The North Korea of good decisions. Oh, and the last one I like quite a bit was turning taste buds into taste foes for generations.
Taste buds into what?
Into taste foes.
All right, I feel like I
Jepson, need to the champagne of pain. That's the last one.
Well, remember that Dave Attell special when he kept doing the like Jaeger. Ads for Jaeger?
Yes.
Dad comes out of the bushes. He's naked and there's a shoe in his hand. Jaeger. Or there's a girl sitting on a swing set all by herself. A single tear rolls down her eye. Where's daddy? Jaeger.
All right, I'm going to remember this Jepson's Malort. I'm going to have to look for it. But if it's super expensive, I probably won't try it.
I don't think it's expensive. I think there's a supply and demand here thing where there's not a huge demand for this stuff.
Sounds like there should be.
Somebody's paying for a website, so
yeah, it's pretty sweet though too. It's not like a terrible website. It's fairly decent. Anywho, best thing ever. Let's go to my list. My best thing ever actually is a couple of weeks old, but it's still super awesome. Is Desire's Magic Theater, the new Person album. That thing smokes. Love it, love it. It's the best.
Sweet.
I'll tell you what's best. Tampa Bay's not going to the Stanley Cup.
Nailed it.
All right. My best thing ever this week, Lady Dynamite on Netflix. The new Maria Bamford show.
Oh, new wife?
I would marry Maria Bamford without even... We could do it over Skype right now. I would be more than happy to marry her. She is amazing. This show is... essentially all the screaming voices in her head out in the world. The show shifts gears so much in the first three episodes. 1 minute they're in here and then it switches to the past and then all of a sudden they're not in the show anymore. They're talking about the show while they're recording. It is literally like all the weird voices in her head in a show. But with Patton Oswalt and the one girl from Parks and Rec, and the other girl from that terrible sitcom that I mentioned a while back, and Brian Posehn's on there as a cop for some reason. It's such a weird, amazingly awesome show.
I will totally check that out, because I love her quite a bit as well.
Yeah, it's like in my opinion, this show is the absolute best possible representation of her outside of stand-up. It's so weird and just... manic, and it opens up with probably the best fake commercial for hair products I've ever seen.
Okay, I'll check it out tonight.
Yeah, I don't know how it's only got 2 stars. It's a total mystery to me because it's super funny.
It might be too out there for some people.
That's the only thing I can think of. I mean, it's just shy of Tim and Eric, but way funnier, I think.
That's awesome.
Tim and Eric's occasionally hilarious. Don't give me
that. Yeah, say so. Occasionally.
Don't give me that look.
Played a show with that dude.
Did you really?
Yeah, when he was an Ink and Dagger for a while.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
The one that looks like you.
Kind of, yeah.
No, not you, yeah. Damien. The one that looks like Brian.
Oh. Like, yeah, if he's bald, I guess. And more Scottish looking. Yeah, no, he's...
The tall, big, nerdy one.
Yeah, Eric Warheim.
Yeah.
Yeah, he played bass for Ink and Dagger when they came through here and they stayed with us at this big house we all...
Yeah, he was in Ink and Dagger, though, for like 2 days, though.
It was like one tour. All right,
I don't think he's even on any recordings.
No, unless he might be on that demo that turned into a 7-inch. But yeah, he was around for a little while. They had videos of them doing the most.
Yeah, but he wasn't on like Drive This 7-inch Stake Through My Philadelphia Heart or any of that initial stuff.
Yeah, probably not.
He came on later on. Whatever. Right. It doesn't really matter because I didn't Ink and Dagger or weird.
So was your best thing ever really going to be the hockey thing?
No, actually, Overwatch, because I still have not opened it yet.
Really?
Yeah.
I was wondering why I haven't seen you on there.
I will now, though. Now that I've been reading reviews.
It's pretty fun.
It's getting good reviews. It's now that I'm... Because a lot of them were making it sound like it's just straight multiplayer, but like I read one review where they actually went a little bit more in-depth, and it sounds a lot better than just saying, yeah, it's a multiplayer game. Because when you say it like that, it's just like, eh. The game's actually got a little bit more depth to it than just that.
Well, there's a practice mode, and then there's like a you can do custom matches. Like I can go one on one with you, or we can have, you know.
The thing that I liked about it is that the fact that like when they went in depth with it, they said actually all 21 heroes are actually very different from each other.
Dude, they are ridiculously different. Like there's
that's
a handful.
The part
of...
That's the part I liked a lot. I was like, okay, now you guys got me.
I still haven't used everybody. But like, there's some characters that
they sound drastically different from each other.
They're absolutely there's four different classes, and some characters like I seem to do really well with, and others like I as much as they'll
suck balls.
Yeah, exactly. Like they'll kill me in an instant, but when I pick that character, like forget about it. Like I'm gonna tickle people until they kill me. But the cool thing is like in the middle of a match when you die. You can just change your character. You're not stuck with a character until the end of the match. And it's not like it's a normal, I guess, you know, first-person shooter game where, like, you'll level up and then your character is stronger than everyone who's lower level. Like, that's not the case. All characters are the same, no matter what. The only things you unlock, really, are different skins and different, like...
Yeah.
Looks and stuff. You know, you don't get any better weapons. You're not any stronger than anybody else. So everyone's kind of leveled out on the playing field, which I kind of like.
All the maps and characters that they come up with, though, I heard are going to be free.
That's cool. I like that.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's fun.
Sounds awesome.
No, I'm going to open it up now.
Sweet.
Now I want to play it. But I'll probably have to wait till Saturday to play with you and... Did Mike get it?
No, he did not. It was I got it, Jeff got it, Max got it. I think Mike might get it, but so far it's just the three of us and then you.
Okay.
But we've got actually a couple interviews lined up Saturday, so I don't know if I'll be playing. But anywho, moving on.
Let's see. My best thing ever, I took my cat to the vet today, and she was really super well behaved and... it's really amazing because that's very unusual for a cat who, when we got her, she was feral.
Yeah.
What did you do? Did you pick up a bobcat?
She was a...
She's a little black... lynx?
Yeah, she's a little black cat. She's got one eye. Because she was in an accident when she was little. She was like a cat kind of like ran away from home and got knocked up out in the woods somewhere and... was just sort of didn't have a home. They were just kind of like the mother and the kittens were all kind of wandering around. Apparently someone ran them over.
Jesus.
Yeah, and the only two of the kittens survived. One of them was my cat, and that's how she lost her eye.
Wow.
Yeah, so we took her in. My wife actually at the time was like, would it freak you out if we got a cat with one eye? And I was like, yeah, actually, I think that would be weird. She's like, oh, okay, well, we pick her up tomorrow.
Like, can we at least get an eye patch?
Too late.
Yeah, not what she was expecting me to say. But... But now the thing is, like, I am the only one the cat likes. But she's usually really, like, not good at the vet, goes crazy, like, does the whole rawr thing, all those weird sounds.
Yep.
And she was really great. She just kind of sat there, and every time that the doctor, like, let her, she'd, like, crawl into my arms, kind of try to, like, hide under my beard. But she was really good. She's been chewing herself. She's got some skin problems, so
allergies.
Yeah, I had to spend a ton of money that I don't have. Actually, I mean, literally money I don't have. I had to basically just overdraw my account to take my cat to the vet today. But I can't let her be miserable anymore. I get paid in a few days, so I'll be okay.
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you.
Yeah, it sucks, but what are you gonna do?
Well, alrighty then. There we have our show for the week. Don't forget to follow me on Twitter at XOrsonX, follow Brian at Pure Rock Fury, follow Chris at SkateXEdge, and follow Damien at Damien Johnston. Don't forget to check out ReviewAndRoast.com, and don't forget you can buy your movie tickets there now. Other than that, have a good week, and we'll see you next time.